Okay, good evening. I guess we'll start, and hopefully other people will join when they join. Just before we begin, I'd like to dedicate the shiur this evening, Le'ilah Nishmas, my esteemed father-in-law, Rav Chaim Shulman, Rav Chaim Rav Pinchas Eliyahu, Zichrono Livracha, whose yard site is this evening, tomorrow, the 17th of Teves, and the Shama should have an Aliyah. I entitled the shiur, When Plans to Do Something Bad Result in Something Good. This, of course, connects to Parshas Vayechi because of the story that appears at the very end of the Sedra. We know that after Yaakov Avinu dies, so the Yosef and his brothers, the family brings him back to Eretz Yisrael to bury him there. Then they come back to Mitzrayim, and all of a sudden, Yosef's brothers become fearful. They grow fearful that now Yosef's going to get them back. He's going to take revenge. It's payback time for all the trouble that they caused for him. And, they felt perhaps that as long as Yaakov was alive, so Yosef wasn't going to do anything because it would upset the father if he would harm his brothers and so on. So in deference and respect to his father, that's why he treated them nicely. But now that the father's gone, now they're afraid, oh, now we're going to get it. And so they concoct the story. As far as we know, they concoct the story. We don't find them in the Chumash that they were told this, but they come and they tell Yosef, listen, before he died, our father told us to let you know that he wants you to please forgive us and not to do anything to us and not to harm us in any way and so on and so forth. And Yosef responds with the psukim in source number one, Bereishis Perek Nun, Pasuk Yotes, Vayomer Aleim Yosef, Al Tiro, don't worry, nothing to worry about. Ki Asachas Elokim Ani, am I in place of God? Don't worry about it, I'm not in place of God. And here's the key pasuk for us at the moment, Pasuk Chof, Vatem Chashavtem Olai Ro. Elokim chashav l'tova. You plan to do bad to me. You plan to harm me. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu had other plans. He planned everything to work out. You plan to harm me. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Elokim chashav l'tova. L'mana se'kayom, l'asokayom azelach. It was Amrav. In order to work out, as things did work out, that because of me being here in Mitzrayim, I was able to keep the whole family and many other people alive. Therefore, Vatal Tiro, don't worry now because I'm going to sustain you and support you and your families and so on. So basically, we also says, listen, I'm not going to punish you because at the end, everything worked out because of what you did to me, that your plans may have been, your designs may have been less than noble, but the way everything worked out, it's good. And I end up helping everybody. So I'm not going to bow. Kadosh Baruch Hu, so he'll have to decide that for himself. As Rashi says in Pasuk, in source number two, on Pasuk Yutas, of here in Perek Nun, Kasach Elokim Shema B'mkomani, B'tmi, am I in place of God? Even if I wanted to, I couldn't do anything to you because in the end, although you plan to do bad to me, Kadosh Baruch Hu had other plans in mind. So how can I do bad to you? So bottom line is Yosef indicates his brothers that he, at the end, he has nothing to punish him for because it ended up being good. The Or HaChaim on this pasuk in source number three, again here in Parashat Vayechi, Perek Nun, Pasuk Chof, Atem chashavtem and so on, Elokim chashav l'tov, the Or HaChaim writes, Bahare zeh dome, this is very similar, L'miskaven lahashkos chavero kos moves, and the guy planned to give somebody else a cup with some poison, it's going to make him sick or worse, okay? But Vishkeu Kosyayan, instead he gave him something that was delicious. He gave him the wrong goblet, okay? So at the end, the friend, the other person, not only wasn't harmed, he enjoyed what he gave him. So She'enam is Chayav Klum. So the person who gave him not Chayav anything because he didn't do any harm at all. On the contrary, he made things even better in some ways. But Harayim Peturim is Akhaim Gam Adinei Shamayim, right? Enam is Chayav Klum. He's Pater from any punishment, and even it's meritorious because he gave somebody something that he enjoyed. So therefore, that's what the Or HaChaim says. At the end, the brothers may have plotted to do something bad to Yosef, but it didn't work out that way. It ended up being a wonderful thing, not only for Yosef, but for the whole family. Now, that's the Or HaChaim. So as we'll see in a moment, many people question this Or HaChaim. Is that really true? You know, you plan to do something bad. A guy planned to harm somebody. He planned to give him a cup of something or other that was going to harm him. And ended up, he gave him the wrong cups. Everything, the guy enjoyed it. He's completely guiltless, really. He's not culpable for anything. I mean, it's true. It worked out well. But is that true? Is that the case? Now, the Or HaChaim was actually preceded in this line of thinking by one of the Rishonim, Rabbi Yosef Bechor Shor. It was from the time of the Balei Tosfos, one of the Rishonim. I think most of the Achronim who ask against the Or HaChaim didn't have this Sefer, Rabbi Yosef Bechor Shor, on the Chumash available. It's available now. Okay, the Rechor Shor makes this comment on last week's Sedra. We look in source 4 and last week's Sedra, in Parshas Vayigash, back in Perek Mem Hey, when Yosef first reveals his identity to his brothers, he says also in Pasuk Hey, Perek Mem Hey, source 4, don't be sad, don't be depressed, don't get angry, because you sold me down here, because Baruch Hu sent me here to sustain you. Right, and he mentions in the subsequent psukim, because already been only 2 years of the famine, there's going to be another 5 years with the famine. And by pasuk zayin, by shachen elokim lifneichem lasuslam sheris baritz, because Baruch Hu arranged that I should come down here to be able to, in effect, save you and the whole rest of the family and many of the other people. And again, he emphasized in pasuk ches, v'atalo atem shlachtem osiheina, ki elokim, you didn't send me down here, because Baruch Hu did, and so on. So there, Beelzebub Chorshor in source 5 says, Altayatsu, etc., etc. Okay, this whole thing was Gzeras Mokom. Vim kivantem lechol b'sar chazir. If somebody has intention to eat a piece of pork, a piece of treif meat, okay, v'ala b'yedchem b'sar tleh, and it ended up he ate a kosher piece of meat, right? The guy didn't care. He was going to violate the halacha. Let's say a guy decides to go to a wedding. And he assumes that people aren't religious. There's going to be lots of non-kosher food. And he couldn't care less. He wants to eat non-kosher food. So he goes to the wedding to eat non-kosher food. And he has helpings of meat and everything else, assuming he's eating non-kosher food. Then later on, he finds out, oh, the Kala's grandmother was a religious Jew, so she wanted to be a kosher wedding. It turned out it was all kosher food. It turned out they didn't eat one piece of treif meat the whole evening. Okay, so he said, Lemaisa, says the Bechor Shor, he didn't eat any non-kosher. So in Kivanta Lecho B'sar Chaz V'Ola B'chem B'sar Tlem, Kadosh Baruch Hu is happy with you, says the Bechor Shor, in the sense that he worked everything out. You taka didn't violate anything. So Kadosh Baruch Hu, whatever reason, prevented this person who was planning to eat non-kosher meat, okay, he ate only kosher meat, as it turns out, right? So it refers to the pasuk in Mishlei Perikid Beis Pasuk Chavalef, so 6, Lo Yuna Latzari Kol Oven Rishon Molera, right? Kadosh Baruch Hu prevents certain people. Maybe the tzaddikim or whatever, so prevents certain people from sinning. He works it out that even if they're planning to sin, even the circumstances for Averis present themselves, HaKadosh Baruch Hu somehow bails them out. That's how Rabbeinu Yonah writes on that Pasuk in Mishlei, Perigud Beis, Pasuk Chafalot. Hashem Yisborach, Shomer Es HaTzaddik Min Hashkiel. Certainly when it comes to tzaddikim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu prevents them from getting entrapped and making mistakes. He works it out that everything, that everything works out the way it's supposed to be. As the Pasuk says in Shmuel Aleph, Perig Beis, Pasuk Tes, Ragle Chassid of Yishmar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects the feet of the tzaddikim. Okay, in any event, the common denominator between the Bechor Shor and the Orachaim is that they both seem to be saying that Yosef was telling his brothers, look, everything turned out good in the end. That all worked out well. So don't be upset. You didn't really do anything wrong. You may have designed to do something wrong. Your plans were to cause harm, but they didn't end up causing harm. Bring about the salvation of the whole family. So don't worry about it. The question is that really true, the halacha? Is it true that a person who plans to do something bad and it doesn't end up that way, it ends up, he doesn't do anything, either it's neutral or he ends up doing something good, that he's mamish held guiltless, that everything's okay? Is that really true? It appears from the Medrash, the Sifrei, which we'll see in a moment, and from Beferish and Mishnah, Gemara and Nazir, that's not true at all. The case is a sugya related to Nazirus, okay? It says in Parshas Matos, Bemidbar Parak Lamed, source number 10, talks about a woman taking a vow, taking an oath. Now, the halacha is, without the details now, if a woman takes an oath, under certain circumstances, her husband may revoke that oath. Okay, not in all situations, it has to be something that impacts him. Whatever the details are, not so important for us at the moment, but the husband can nullify the oath. Okay, and it says, as it says over there, Yud Aleph, Perek Lamed, and Parshas Matos, 10, Bim Beis Yishon Adora, Osu Yisrael Nafshu B'Shua, if a woman, Beis Yishon, in the house of her husband, it's a married woman, okay, takes an oath, and Yud Beis, Roshama Isha V'Hechrish Law, and the husband hears about it, doesn't say anything, so then the vow stands. But, in Pasuk Yud Gimel, Vim Hafer Yafer, Asam Yishol B'Yom Shomo, if the husband nullifies the vow, and there's certain the deadline, he's got only one day to do it, whatever the details are, but he does it, then, Kol Motzo Sosel Adrel Isan Afsha Lo Yakum, then the vow that she took does not stand, it doesn't have validity, and it says, V'Hashem Yislach Lo, Hashem will forgive her. So that's an unusual phrase. What do you mean Hashem will forgive her for what? Hashem Yislach, Hashem will forgive her for what? Okay, so before we get to that, Rashi explains in source 11, basically Shanadar and Perak Lamed of Bemidbar Pasuk Gudalav, right? But the Suah Kasum Daber, it's someone a married woman, and so a husband of Baal Mayfair, the husband can nullify it under certain circumstances. Okay, he explains it has to be something which is inu nefesh. It afflicts, it's a physical affliction or some kind of nether. Again, the details are not so important for us. Look at the Sifrei there in Parshas Matos, Piska Kuf Nun Dalad 12. Hashem Yislach Lo for what? So he says the Sifrei Harisha Nodra Ubitla Beliba Behocha Va'asta Mizida. Here you have a woman who, let's say, she took a nether to do X, to do Y. We'll come to the Nazir's case in a moment in the Gemara Nazir. But a regular nether, she vows, she promised, not going to eat chocolate. The next 30 days, whatever. She needs to have go on a diet. So she wants to lose weight. She takes a neder. She's not going to draw. She's not going to drink coffee. Whatever neder she takes. And then after a few days, she decides, you know what? I have to forget this. I can't maintain it. She made a commitment, right? So she goes ahead. She decides, okay, I'm going to break the neder. What can I do? I'll straighten out with a Kodesh Baruch Yom Kippur time. But now I'm going to go ahead and break this neder. All right. So what happens is, but meanwhile, the husband had nullified the neder. She didn't know about it. So when she went ahead and ate that chocolate or drank that coffee, Lemaisa, she didn't violate anything because her husband had, in fact, revoked the nether. So she didn't do anything wrong. She thought she was doing something wrong, but she actually wasn't. And the Gemara says, that's why it says, Hashem Yislach Lo. Hashem forgives her. And what that means is that there is some slicha that's required. Okay, and look at the second line of 12, and it's where the Bechor Shor maybe got it from, but it comes out backwards. The opposite of what he says. Look at the second line of 12. Moshel, moshel, amah, davar, lemiskaven lecho b'sar chazir. A guy had every intention to take a bite of a piece of meat that he thought was pork, he thought it was treif meat. Lecho b'sar chazir, turns out it was kosher meat. Tzorich slicha. Maybe he doesn't get punished, you know, by a bezdin or anything, but he still needs to be forgiven. His intent was to do something bad, so he requires slicha. And then it's the kavachomer. Certainly, if he planned to eat non-kosher, and he did eat non-kosher. That goes without saying. Okay? So certainly, if she violates a neder, it wasn't canceled. And this is very similar to a Mishnah in Maseches Nozir, Daf Chav Gimel Amud Aleph 13. The Mishnah says as follows, Isha Shenodra Ben Nozir. A woman took an oath to become a Nozir. A woman can become a Nozir too. Okay? So she took a vow to become a Nozir. Then and she went ahead and she wanted to drink some wine anyway, which a nazir is not allowed to do. Or she wanted to go to a cemetery, which a nazir is not allowed to do. So Harezes Sofegas Arbam. So she does that. She gets 40 lishas. She gets malchus. You violated your naziris. Okay. That's the first part of the mishnah. That's not news. Okay. You're like anyone else who breaks a neder. But then it says, Hey, fair law, baila, but if the husband had nullified the nether, which he has the right to do, as we said before, under certain circumstances, v'hi lo yada shehe fair law baila. She didn't know that her husband had nullified it. Okay? V'haisa shos v'yadam tamala mason. She was drinking wine. She went to a cemetery. Eina sofekes arboim. She doesn't get 40 lishes because the bottom line is she didn't do anything wrong. She, when she drank wine, that wasn't an aver because she thought it was an aver, but her husband nullified it. Therefore, she doesn't get lashes. But Rabbi Huda Omerim Eina Sofegas Abraham Tispog Makas Mardus. She should still get Makas Mardus that the Rabbanan can sometimes administer Makas. Rashi explains in 14. Rashi there knows it. Coming off in that mission, Rabbi Huda Omer Tispog Makas Mardus Im Lo Nischav Makas Man Torah Te Loka Makas Rabbanan Kedei Lahochicha Shelo Te Mezida. Have to teach her a lesson. She shouldn't have done it. At the end of the day, she kind of got away with doing something wrong because it ends up that it wasn't wrong. But it's a bad attitude. Okay, it's the wrong thing to do. So Rabbanan, you have to teach her a lesson. Okay, but the bottom line is, you see from here, the pasuk says Hashem Yislach Lo, but that means you need slicha. And not only that, but even the Rabbanan can even administer punishment. So we see here from these sources, from this Sifrei and the Piskakuf Nandal in source 12, from this mission Nozir Daf Chof Gimel, that a person's intention to do something bad, even if it ends up that he didn't do it, it still requires, at the very least, some form of slicha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and perhaps even Makas Mardas. Tosus says in Nozir Chof Amud Beis, the Tosus really belongs in Chof Gimel, but it's printed earlier for whatever the reason, 15, right? The first part of the mission is a little strange, Tosus. The first part of the mission says, if the husband didn't nullify it, she gets lashes. Well, no kidding. Why does it have to say that? So Tosus simply says, that's obvious, it's pshita, but since the second half of the mission was teaching you in a certain circumstance she won't get lashes, that says in the previous circumstance she does. Okay, that's a technical point. Anyway, the Rambam paskins this way, Hilchos Nedarim, Per Yud Beis, Halach Yud Ches 16, Nadra v'heifela avo habal v'hilo yada. She took a neder and the husband, or, you know, and so sometimes with a young girl, the father can nullify it. Same idea, okay? V'hilo yada, and she didn't know sheheifer. She didn't know it was revoked. But avral nidra ol shvosa bezadom. She intentionally violated what she had committed to. Harezu p'tura. She's exempt from punishment. V'afal pishin iskavna l'iser. Even though she intended to do something bad. Hoel v'nes nasa heter p'tura. Okay, the Rambam says you're potter because at the end of the day you didn't do anything wrong. But it says Hashem Yislachlo. I have a question. Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, you're muted. I'm sorry, you're muted.
Yeah. Didn't we learn in the past? I can't think of an example that there were times where your intention is what counts.
Okay, we'll get to that. We'll talk about it a little bit. But here we're seeing that Enochanami, your intention does count. At the end of the day, the Bezin can't give you the Malkus because at the end of the day, she didn't violate being a Nazir because she in fact wasn't a Nazir, or she didn't break the Nether because the Nether had already been revoked. She didn't know that. So therefore, you know, but you still see that the intentions count. Now, the Kesef Mishnah says that in the way the Rambam understands it, that the back in the Mishnah in source number 13, when Rabbi Huda says you get the Makas Mardus, the Rabbanan, that Rabbi Huda was not arguing with the Rabbanan. He was just explaining. The Rabbanan say, you know, you gotta do something to her because her actions were off and you have to teach her a lesson. So Revelvus Halavachik and the Chedusha Griz there on the Gemara Nozach of Gimel Alav, where it's printed, source 18 in Oz Dalad, he says clearly, okay, really, she should get a regular punishment. The Gzeres HaKosav Hashem Yislach Lo. Really, what she did is, he, in his terminology, Brisker terminology, calls it a Maisa Isser. When she drank that wine or went to the cemetery, she did a Maisa Isser. She broke a commitment. She broke her Naziris. Okay? Now, because of circumstances she didn't even know about, it turns out that she wasn't Nazir anymore. The Neder was no longer valid. So we have a Gzeres HaKosav that says, Hashem Yislach Lo. He quotes this Rambam. And he says, Mashma Midor, in the fifth line of 18, the Lule HaKosov Havim Nidalokim Nation is Kavna Liser. If not for the Pusuk saying Vashem Yislachla, really she should have gotten punished because her intention was to do something wrong. And therefore, we have to say, Tzrichim Loma, same thing. Be'emes ben iskaven lecho b'sar chazir, the case where the guy wanted to eat a treif piece of meat and ended up being a kosher piece of meat, is Yesh Kan Maisa Iser. It was wrong. The only thing is, we learn out of a Pusuk, you don't get Malkus. Okay, you don't get Malkus. That's why Behuda says you get the Malkus Mardus Drabonim because it's still a Maisa Isser. It's very least. Okay, not just because of the Makshava, because of what she did. So that's what he says. And you know, that's what Brisker Rav says. We may come back to that point because he's not emphasizing that it's just a Makshava. There is an act that was wrong here also. So we may come back to that point if we have time at the end. But in any event, what emerges clearly from the sugya, that at the very least, your actions, your plans to do something wrong count. So we're back to the Orach Chaim. How could he say that, or the Bechor Shor, how could they say that Yosef told them, don't worry about it. What's the difference what you thought? It worked out well. Well, one second. We see from these sources that's not necessarily enough. There still needs to be some sort of slicha and kapara. Okay, when the Brisker Rav quoted the Sifri Zuto, another edition of the Medrash, there in Perek Lamed, in Parshas Matos, in the Midbar, Perek Lamed, Pasuk Rav, number 19, Hashem Yislach Lo, Kenei V'Yosu, Hefer Lo Yoda, Hefer V'Lo Yoda, V'Yizid Rav Lein Minai, and Shib Tur, Tamad Lomar, Hashem Yislach Lo, it's Exeris HaKosov, Hashem forgives her, but you need forgiveness. And the Rabbanon are not as forgiving, right? They're going to give you a Makas Mardus. So you see from all of that, and the Shulchan Aruch Balei rules, it's in Reish Lamadal, Hichel Nadarim, Yerodei Reish Lamadal, Tzivchav Ches, in 20, Shulchan Aruch rules that the husband can indeed revoke the neder, even if the wife doesn't know about it. He writes, Afila Shaloba for now, right? The Baal, or the husband, or the father, in the case of a girl, can nullify neder, okay? Afila Shaloba for now, even if it wasn't in front of her. And the Biur HaGroah, it's got in Samach Zion, in 21, Likud Sifskot and Samah Zayin says it's based on this Gemara, and this Mishnah rather. Now, if you look in the Gemara on that Mishnah 22, the Gemara goes a step further. Nazir Chav Gemara of Tana Rabbanan, Isha Hefeiram Hashem Yislachlo, BeIsha Sheheifel Abala VeHilo Yoda Kosm Daver. It's talking about a case where the woman took a neder, okay, and the Baal nullified it, but she didn't know about it. She Tzricha Kapara VeSlicha Ferish in the Gemara. She needs Slicha and Kapara. Now, Kishaham Agir, Bekiva, to the Pasuk, Zahia Bochan, Bekiva would come upon this Pasuk, would begin to weep, he'd begin to cry. Because he said, imagine somebody, if somebody intends to eat non-kosher meat and ends up eating kosher meat, he needs slicha and kapara. How much more so a guy who intends to eat non-kosher meat and does eat non-kosher meat, how much more trouble is he in, right? So Akiva was, you know, nervous about it. So again, and Rashi explains, we're talking about a case where the husband nullified the neder and she didn't know about it. Okay, and he's allowed to do that. So you see from that Gemara as well that the thought or the intent to do something bad does count. It may not count enough to bring about malchus, but it counts enough that you need at the minimum some sort of slicha and kapara. Okay, and that's what Tosus points out. Look in 24. Tosus there in Chaf Gimel Alf and Azar says, "Beisha the iyada amai tzvicha slicha v'kapara lechaper." If she knew that it was nullified, that for sure didn't do anything wrong. If she knew that her husband had nullified the nether, so what does she need any slicha for? She knew the neder was canceled, so she can go ahead and drink whatever wine she wants. So obviously, it's someone she didn't know. Now, the Meiri on that Gemara Nozir, Chaf Gimel Rav, says the following. Take a look at 25. For this reason, a person should control his yetzer not to do any kind of an avera. First, he says, Shahiro maybe le demasa. First of all, thinking about certain things leads you to do them. Okay? And therefore, you went ahead and thought about the bad things and doing bad things and so on, and you satisfied the Yetzirah and so on. Okay. Afal Pish and his Dama the other dry heter, even though Lamaisa, when it came to doing it, it didn't exactly turn out the way you had planned, and it didn't end up being such a bad thing. Okay. Ho of Osa Maisa Machsheves Avera, Avon Ho Betzorah Kapora. The very Machshava, the very wrong thought. That is an avon, is a sin, and requires kapora. And he said, that's what the Gemara means here. That's the case over here. Now, the Meiri in the Darim, and off Pei Beis and Beis, when this parallel Gemara appears, Dira Maschla Isha Shinoda, 26. Hey, Ferla Vahilo Yoda, Baba Nidra, Aino Loka, you can't give him Malka, can't give her Malkas, because Lamaisa, Holokvar Hufar Nidra, she didn't violate an ed, it was canceled. Afal Pishla Yoda, Bavaroso, Elisha Srach Avera. Srach means as a, it's like a shmek, you know, there's a smell, there's a stain of an avera. From all of this, what do you see? You see that the plan to do something bad, there is culpability for that. It's not the same as having done it, but there is culpability. Now, it's interesting because there seems to be a Gemara which points in a different direction. Maybe, Hadley, this is what you were driving at. The Gemara says in Kiddushin Lamed Tes and Beis 27, Machshava ra'a ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitzar fo lamaisa. When you have bad thoughts, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not consider it as if you did it. Okay? Well, you said before, the Gemara says, ah, by mitzvahs, it does. If you intend to do a mitzvah, then something comes up, you don't do it, you can still get credit. We'll come back to that. But this Gemara says, Machshava ra ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitzar fo lamaisa. And the next Amud on Mem Amud Aleph, the Gemara learns it out from Psukim at 28. Machshava ra ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitzar fo lamaisa, shenemar, avon imroisa belibi lo yishma Hashem. Right? That's a pasuk in, I print the next page, so I have to flip the page. In source 30, Pasuk in Tehillim, Perek Samach Vav, Pasuk Yud Ches, Avon Imroisi Belibi, it was just an avon, a sin in my heart, Lo Yishma Hashem. Hashem won't listen to it. Okay, and the Radak explains, and there in Tehillim, Perek Samach Vav, Pasuk Yud Ches 31, Afil Imroisi Belibi, Avon Lasoso, Afal Pishu Neged Akel, right? You know, it's against Hashem and so on. It's like, even if I said something, but Hashem doesn't hear it, so to speak, as long as I didn't do anything. Shemachshava ra, ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitzar fo lamaisa. Okay? Other than in the matter of Emunah and Avodah Zarah, it's not an issue now. Mitzvah David also says the same thing there in 32. If I just thought to do a sin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, pretends he never heard about it. So that seems to be against what we are saying over here. Now, the Gemara itself says, but there's another pasuk. Back in source 28, the Gemara in Kedushim, Memonoth says another pasuk, which seems to point in a different direction. 33, a pasuk in Yirmiyahu, Paragvav, pasuk Yates, it says over there, Hine Anochi, Shime Arz, Hine Anochi, Mevi Ra Elaam Hazeh, Pri Machshevo Son. Right? I'm punishing them for their thoughts. So the Gemara asks that in the second part of the Gemara in 28. The Gemara says, what do you mean? What about that pasuk? The Gemara says, no, that's Pri Machshevo Son. Machshevo She'ose Pri. It's a Machshevo that comes to fruition, as we say in English. There you get punished. If your machshava comes to fruition, okay, HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitzar fo lamaisa, machshava she'ein bo pri, but if it never came to fruition, right, they never produced any results, so then ain't HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitzar fo lamaisa. Now, this Gemara Kiddushin would seem to be a contradiction we just said, because Gemara Kiddushin sounds like the Arachaim is saying in Chumash, or Choshor is saying Chumash. Bad intents, no problem, because a Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't count that against you. So how do we reconcile that with our Gemara? So with our Gemara Nozir, which seems to say, based on a Pasuk, not just the Gemara, it sounds like a Pasuk, Hashem Yislach Lo. What does she need Slicha for? She didn't do anything wrong. Right? The Neder or the Naziris was nullified, so she didn't do anything wrong. So what is Hashem Yislach Lo for what? Elamai, no. You see that the intent to do wrong is a problem that requires minimally Slicha and Kapar, maybe even Makas Mardas. So the Meiri there in Kiddushin, on Daf Lama Testament, Beis in 38, he says, that Gemara means that a Kadosh Baruch Hu, the Gemara Kiddushin means a Kadosh Baruch Hu won't punish you for having the wrong machshava the same way he'd punish you if you did the act itself. That's true. But mikol makom nenashualeb, but it's still a punishment. All that Gemara and Kiddushin means is that Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't put it on the same plane when you think a certain way. So it doesn't mean you're off scot free. It means it's not as bad. It's not ain't a Kadosh Baruch Hu mitzar fala mice. He doesn't consider as if you did it, but you're still wrong, and you still get punished for it. And again, that's exactly says the Miri. That's the achashumichaben bihurur lekavanos asiyas averi, because you're thinking to do an avera. That's just not just ignored. Okay, luckily for him, luckily for you, it didn't work out. So it was dominantly under the hoaxy who will fall. He lucked out. He wasn't able to carry out what he was thinking, or the woman in this case wasn't able to carry out what she thought she was going to carry out. But still, it doesn't exempt you totally. The Miri has something called the Chibur HaTshuva, work on Tshuva, as the title would suggest. The Chibur HaTshuva, the Miri 36, Meshiv Nefesh Mamar Aleph Perek Zayim, says this also. Yesh Bechelek HaMachshov Tzad Echad Hu Shetzorech Mechila. Sometimes thoughts require Mechila. Okay, and that is b'misha chashuv lasu avera also ma'isa machshavas avera elashiv damin shaya ma'isa mutar. The guy had every intention of doing avera. It turns out, took him to like a guy with a wedding. He thought it was a non-kosher food. He was eating the Shabbat delight at the smorgasbord, and it turns out that it was in the kosher meat. Okay, but we still can't let him off scot free, right? Or he says kinyan misha gomer b'dayto lechol chelev. He gives an example. A guy was eating chelev. Chelev means the forbidden fats from a kosher animal. And you're not allowed to eat that. He was going to eat it anyway. And then it turns out it was a piece of shuman, which is from the fats that is permissible in the meat. It's kosher. Again, he did the wrong thing. So he needs slicha mechila. I'm sorry, he didn't do the wrong thing, but he thought the wrong thing. And that's enough to require slicha mechila al machshavto. He quotes the whole Gemara Kiddushin with the Naziris and so on and so forth. Okay? As an interesting side point, okay, this is very interesting. Take a look at that. Does everyone hear what I'm trying to say from the Sugi and Nazir and from the Sifrei? It seems like, Machshava to do something bad. Okay, it's not as bad as doing it, but it still requires Slicha and Kapora. So what's going on with the Arachaim and the way in understanding Yosef's message to his brothers in the Bechor Shur? Before we get to an approach, I just want to show you this on this Indian, this side point. The Pasuk in Parsha Shlach 37, Bamidbar Perek Tetzvav Pasuk Chavov, it says, the whole nation will be forgiven because it's all bishogi. You don't know when we say that pasuk? Sound familiar? Right after Kol Nidre, right? On Yom Kippur night, right after Kol Nidre, right? The Chazan says it three times, and then we say it three times, right? It's an emotional moment. So that's an old tradition. Tosis in the Dharm on our daf. Okay, I'm sorry, not on our daf, in the Dharm. On Chav Gimel or Beis, Dibu Maslo, Ve'at Dorash Lo Pirko. Says Umashenogu La Omar Acha Kol Nidre Vinisla Khuadas. Why do we, that's an old minute, the Balaitosis have it already. Why do we say that phrase after Kol Nidre of all things? So he says, without going into the details now, one of the purposes of a Kol Nidre, I said according to the Balaitosis, is not only to nullify the Nadarim from the past, but also to in effect pre-cancel any Nadarim that I may take during the next year. Okay, I think we do by a Tarsa Dharm in the Rosh Hashanah. We also at the end, first we say that whole paragraph about the past Dharm, then the three people sitting there say mutter, 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 and then we say, now here, any Dharm that I may take, and so on and so forth, right? So, what do we have to do? What do we have to have Kol Nidre again next year for? It was always pre-canceled. The answer is because I forgot that it was pre-canceled. I took the net. This says the Tosas in the Dharm. That's why we say that Pasuk. Because it may come, I may do something forgetting that it was pre-canceled, and I'm going to have to be held culpable for it. So that's exactly our point. Even though Lemaisa was already pre-nullified, But I didn't realize that. So I need some slicha and kapara. I thought I was doing it, you know. So it's the same type of an idea. So our question is, so what did the Orachayim and the Bechor Shor mean? How do we understand the story of Yosef? If to say, no, everything's good, everything's fine, because it all worked out. I mean, it worked out well, but still, their designs, their plans were no good. So if you take a look in Source 39, the Arvei Nachal. Arvei Nachal is a Chassidish Yosef from the mid-1700s, okay? Parsha Vayechi Drush Hei says as follows, okay? He says on this topic, and it's the same thing in 40, the Klechemda. Klechemda was a little bit later in the 1800s. We Meir Don Plotsky in his Sefer on Parsha Vayechi, here in Rose Dahl, 39 and 40, basically the same general idea. Okay, he says that when it comes to notice what Yosef said to his brothers, right? In the first source, go back to the first source, right? In Pasuk Chav, Batem chashavtem alai ra'ah. You had bad thoughts, you had evil designs. Okay, and he says that sometimes indeed a person is punished for evil thoughts. Okay, why? So he says, Tom Mistaber, the very bottom of the page, right? Because Baruch Hu knows what you're thinking. And therefore, in Cain, Kach Nechshav Machshav L'Chait, come on, Maisa. Because Baruch Hu is going to punish you because he's aware of your thoughts. So therefore, he's going to punish your thoughts also. But look at the top line. Masha Eino Cain Ben Adam L'Chavero. That's true about Averis Ben Adam L'Mokom. But Ola Chavero, Vaday Afilu Yachshav L'Chavero Ra, Kol Shegomalo Tovas Vado Eino Nenash. What the Arvei Nachal answers in the Klechemda says the same thing, that is no stira. Okay, what all those Gemaras, Naziris and so on, that was Ben Ola Mokom. Okay, Ben Ola Mokom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was aware of your thoughts, and therefore indeed you need Slicha Makapar, even though he didn't end up doing, but not by Ben Ola Chavero, because at the end of the day, Ben Ola Chavero, if what I did ended up being good for the person, what's the problem? Okay, Shalom Yisrael, what does he know? He doesn't know what I'm thinking, and what does he care? Okay, but Kimam Mazik Machshavto Akash Ayideze Ain Magila Chaver Nezik Veloy Tzavon. What does he know what I'm thinking? And what I'm thinking didn't end up causing him any harm whatsoever. On the contrary, it even may have helped him. Maybe a good thing. Akash Ayideze Machshavto. He doesn't know. Rak Ma'isa Makir. Okay, and the Ma'isa was good, and that's exactly what Yosef was saying. He doesn't mention the Orachaim. The Klechemda has the same approach defending the Orachaim. He writes in Ozdala there in the source for the Klechemda Vayechi, Ozdala, the Hatztik as a Tzaddik. You know, Orachaim, a Kodesh, calls him a Tzaddik. The Klechemda calls him a Tzaddik. You know, to justify the words of a Tzaddik, so Shaloya Kedvarv Kakadoshim Tmuin. Otherwise, what he's saying is Mamish, you know, it's astonishing because it's against the Medrash, against the Gemara Nazir. It's against the Gemara Kiddush, against everything. How can he say that? No, he says, no, there's a difference between Allah Mokum and Allah Chavero. Okay, when it comes to an Ola Mokom, all right, so Afal Pish and a Kodesh Baruch Hu Mitzvah Machshava Greater Mikol Mokom Kishos Befal Habe Aver Gemur V'Shapi Yishom Adazin Basa Machshavto. Okay, there you go by Basa Machshavto. But by Ben Ola Chavero, okay, then it's only the actions, the end result, it's only the what happens that counts. Okay, it's result-oriented. Ben Ola Chavero is result-oriented. Either I harmed the person, I didn't harm the person. What's the difference in my head? Now he says there is an Isser Lo Sista Sachicha B'Bavecha. Okay, yeah, it's true. Okay, but, you know, if you did something bad and it ends up, you know, okay, that's something else, but if you didn't do it, so then there's no ownership for it, and that's what he thinks the Orachaim probably means. So that's the Teretz, that Ben Ola Chavero is result-oriented. And at the end of the day, like, I heard a couple of, you know, Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein, Rabbi Bnei Brak, has all these interesting cases. Someone suggests he, you know, for dramatic purposes, he asks the guy, he makes up the case, so to speak, you know. But he had a case somehow where somebody stole a car. Okay, he broke into a car and stole the car. And as he's driving away, he finds that there was a baby in the back seat. The father or the mother had left the baby in the back seat, and the baby was dehydrated because it was hot. So the person saw this, so he drove the car to the hospital. He took the baby to the hospital. Ended up saving the baby's life. Now, his intent was to steal the car, okay? His intent was not very noble. He wanted to steal a car, okay? We ended up saving the baby's life. Okay, I heard another case. Someone told me the kids were playing whatever, that they threw a baseball through somebody's window and shattered the window, you know, okay? And so they have to pay for the window. But it happens to be that there was a gas leak in the house, and the person in the house had dozed off. And when the window shattered, okay, woke him up, and he realized the gas leak. So it saved his life, the breaking the window, right? So sometimes, okay, so that's been Ola Chaver, is result-oriented. You're not going to say, well, you know, his plan, I don't care what his plan was. He did the right thing. He did end up doing a good thing. So that's how they resolve this theorem. The Tshuva's Beis Yitzchak has a little bit of a different angle. Yitzchak Shmelkus, Yoridea, Chelek Aleph, Simon Ches, Oschas, 41. He mentioned a different thing. He says, you know, there's a difference between if your intent was to do, even by Reda Lamokom, he suggests, was your intent to do an Avera and it came out neutral? Maybe that is a punishment. But if your intent was to do an Avera and it turned out to be a mitzvah, right? Not only was it neutral, it was better, so then you wouldn't get punished. That's what he says. The Miskavon Ladovar Avera, Dvar Avera, but also mitzvah, then Potol Gamre. He learns the Mishnah and the Gemara Nazir, you get punished only if you were planning to do an Avera and it came out neutral. It wasn't an Avera. But he says, if not only it wasn't an Avera, it turned out to be a mitzvah, then it's a different story. And that's what he says is going on with the Or HaChaim. He said, Or HaChaim was, at the end of the day, right, you know, you it was a mitzvah. You gave the guy something good to drink. He was thirsty. You wanted to give him something to make him sick. And again, they gave him something to make him feel good. Okay, he says again, it's very strange against the Gemara Nozer, but he gives that teretz. He says, no, if your intent was doing a very, ended up being a mitzvah, okay, then that's something else. Then he gives a different suggestion. He says, you know, the machshava aspect will still, even by Nano Chavero, he says, the machshava aspect will still need slich and kapara. But that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's department.
Okay? Excuse me,
Ryan. Yeah.
Wouldn't you think it's the other way around in terms of Beinu Malkum and Chavero? For example, if you plan on doing something wrong, and yep. You didn't do it. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows your intent. So therefore, between you and him, you owe him an apology. You have to bear. But if I intended to do something against you, and I never was able to carry it out, you never knew that I expected to do anything evil.
Right.
So why should it be that I need kapara from you?
No, that's what we're saying. That's what we're saying. That's what we're saying. We're saying in Ben Olam Makom and Echanami, all those Gemaras, and you need Slicha and Kapara, those are Ben Olam Makom. Okay? But Ben Olam Chaver, you don't. And that's what Yosef is telling the brothers. Don't worry.
Sorry. Then I misunderstood.
That's exactly the point. Yosef, according to Archaim, Yosef telling his brothers, don't worry. It worked out good. Okay? There was no harm done. Right? And what the Beis Yitzchak is saying is even more, maybe a mitzvah. But to take it, then he mentions something else. But he says, even in the Benel HaChavero side, even the Benel HaChavero side, there is still the action, the intent, HaKadosh Baruch Hu still knows about. So that you need kapara for. So it's interesting. We know that when Yom Kippur comes, so Yom Kippur is mechaper for sins Benel HaMakom, right? Kippusik says in 42, Vayikra Perek Tezayim Pusik Lamed, Kibayom Azei Chaper Lachem Latayis Chemi Kol Chatzim Lifnei Hashem. Titar, all Averis lifnei Hashem. So the Mishnah says in Yuma, Peheim and Beis, Averis shon ala makom and Kippur mechaper, Averis shon ala chavero, and Yom Kippur mechaper, and Chirat is chavero, right? You only get forgiven because it says lifnei Hashem. You only get forgiven if on Yom Kippur if the sin's been ala makom. But ala chavero, you only get forgiven if you first straighten out with your friend. You have to straighten out with him first. Hilchos Tshuva, Perek Beis, Halachatetz, Ram writes the same thing. Ain't a Tshuva, Leom Kippur mechaper, ala Averis shon ala makom, right? He ate something usher or whatever, he ate on kosher. But ben ala chavero, you harmed somebody, you cursed him, you stole from him, whatever. Then you have to straighten out the person first. The same thing in the Shulchan Aruch, in Hilchos Yom Kippur, Maruchayim Shem Tov Reish Vav Sif Aleph, Aver Shem Elohim Machavero, Ein Yom Kippur Mechapar Shefai Senu. Okay? But what the Beis Yitzchak adds is the aspect of Machshava that remains Ben Olam Makom. So even though you're Ben Olam Chavero, Aver, like Lee said before, you never did anything bad. What do I know what your Machshava is? Yeah, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows. So that will be forgiven on Yom Kippur. That's the Machshava aspect will be forgiven, requires forgiveness, will be forgiven on Yom Kippur. I just want to mention one other thing, the Chofetz Chaim, in the Hilchos Lashon Hara, Klal Gimel, Osifva, 46, says when it comes to Lashon Hara, okay, let's say you spoke Lashon Hara, and no harm came from it whatsoever. Nobody believed you. Nobody listened. And you spoke Lashon Hara. Okay. He says, still, okay, you still need kapara. You still need kapara because you spoke Lashon Hara. In the footnotes called Be'er Mayim Chaim, that's the Chavetz Chaim's Ha'aris in the Sefer Chavetz Chaim, is called the Be'er Mayim Chaim on the bottom of the page. The Ha'aris in Klal Gimel, in the Haggah. He writes, Le'inyan Shari Surum Shemala Chavero Kamo Gezel Va'oshek, Im Yirza Ligzo Valashkas Chavero Lo Yala Biodo, Bevadai Ein Biodo Avon Gezel Va'oshek. If you plan to steal, and you concocted a whole plan to steal from your friend, and it didn't work out, so you punished? No, you didn't steal from him. I didn't do it. I had this whole thing I'm going to break into, and then it didn't happen. There was a snowstorm, so I couldn't go. Whatever. Okay, so, you know, the plans were foiled. I didn't do anything to you. He says the Lashon Hara is different, but he's saying the same Yisod. When it comes to an Ela Chavero, it's result-oriented. So if I didn't do it, But I didn't end up doing it. So then no slicha and kapara is necessary. There's no stira between the Or HaChaim says and what the Gemara in Nozer says. So answered again, we saw the Arvei Nachla and the Klechemda and the Beis Yitzchak, a little different angle, the Chofetz Chaim, they all give that teretz. And just to amplify that point, that when it comes to another Chaveru, it's more result-oriented. You know, we have a mitzvah, Pasuk in Parshas Kisetze, 48, Dvarim Perkov Dalek Pasuk Yutes. We have a mitzvah called Shikha. When you're harvesting your field and stuff drops out of your basket, so you have to leave it for the poor, right? You leave a certain amount, falls out. Low social, go back and get those pieces. You leave it for the poor. Okay, it's a mitzvah called Shikha. And it says, so Rashi says, you know, that's a great thing. You get a bracha. What did you? You didn't even plan to do this. It fell out of your basket. Okay, you had no intention whatsoever of giving this food to the poor. It happened to fall out of your basket, right? And Rashi says, this happened to you without your intent whatsoever. And certainly, if you intend to give tzedakah, even better, okay? But that's the mitzvah of Shikha. And that's what the Sifrei and Dvarim, Pesach Resh Pei Gimel says, 850, what if I dropped a dollar bill somewhere? Or more than I dropped it today, dollar bills. I dropped a $10 bill. And a poor person who was looking to buy some food found the $10 bill. Okay? Guess what? I get credit for the mitzvah tzedakah. I had no intention whatsoever. It fell out of my pocket. Same idea. Ben ola chaver, it's result-oriented. I helped the guy, didn't I? I didn't mean to. I didn't plan to. But I helped him, right? He said, okay? That's what he learned from the story of Shikha. There's a fascinating passage in Maseches Kalav, Perek Aleph, Halacha Chaf Aleph. Listen to this one. Based on a pasuk in Tilim, Perek Yud Beis, but says, Pizer Nosam Avyonim, if you scatter your money to the poor, Tzidkasa Omer Eslad, that righteousness, that tzedakah stands you in good stead forever. They tell a story, I'll say it outside in 52. Apparently, Reb Tarfon was very, very wealthy. Reb Tarfon was very, very wealthy. He was a fabulously wealthy man. And so Reb Akiva, who wasn't, okay, so Reb Akiva once said to Reb Tarfon, listen, you know, but he didn't give that much tzedakah. Whatever, that's what it says about Rabbi Tarfon. He didn't give that much tzedakah. So one time Rabbi Akiva found him and said, listen, you know what, a great investment. You want me to buy some property for you? Great investment, I'll buy some property. So Rabbi Tarfon gave him, says here, Arbas Alafim, okay, dinar izav, 4,000 gold pieces. Go buy this property for me for investment. Okay, so Rabbi Akiva takes the money and he gives it all to tzedakah. He gave it all away. Okay, he gave it all away to the poor. All that money Rabbi Tarfon gave him. A short while later, the Bryce says, Rabbi Tarfon went into, where exactly is the property that you bought? Can you just show me, where's the property? So Rabbi Akiva brought him into the base medrash, and he opened up the Sefer Tilim and showed him this pasuk in 51. Pisa and Nasa Yonim, Tzid Kosom, I got you a greater investment. I got you to bring you righteousness the rest of your life. I gave it to the poor. And it says that Tarfon immediately understood what Rabbi Akiva did, and he gave him a big hug and a kiss, and they all lived happily ever after. But the point is that what do you see? Rabbi Tarfon got the credit. He gave the money to Rabbi Akiva to invest it to buy some property for him. Rabbi Akiva gave it to the poor. Rabbi Tarfon got the credit. So you see, when it comes to the same idea, that's the Maharit writes in the Tshuva Chelek Aleph from Kuf Chav Zayin 53. If at the end of the day the poor person benefits, then it's a zchus, even though it wasn't my intention. Okay, even I dropped it and so on and so forth. Okay, now, it's, you know, let's be honest. I mean, I'll speak about myself. You know, sometimes on Sunday afternoon, we have all these people knocking on our doors, you know, and we're not always that delighted to see them. Okay, and especially when, you know, the four guys come in the car and they come up one at a time. I just got one, I sat down, and I always come out to the driver. So you can please send them all in at once. You know, I don't have to get up once. Okay, you know, so, okay, but at the end of the day, the guy said, I'm grouchy, I ran out the check. That guy didn't care how grouchy I was. He got his check, right? At the end of the day, he got the money. So what does he think? What I'm thinking, you know, I think he's, yeah, that's the way it works. There's a mission, we all know the mission, Parakala, Mission Gimel 54. The mission says, Tigris is not going to teach us. We should not do mitzvahs in the anticipation and in the hope of getting a reward, right? We shouldn't do that. All right. And yet, right now we know that, right? We should do mitzvahs without expecting rewards. You look at 55, the Gemara says in Pesachim, and it's in a few places in the Gemara. An interesting statement. We know this by tzedakah. We do this all the time. But Tanya, Ha'omer Sela 55, Ha'omer Sela Zul Tzedakah. I'm going to give this money to tzedakah. B'shul Sheyichye B'ni. Rachman Otzan, my child is sick. I want to give it for Zuchus Rafu Shlema. Oh, She'eya Ben Alab, I want to get myself an Alab. We do this all. We make a Misha Berach Macholim, and we give tzedakah, right? Is that valid? So the Gemara says yes. The Papa Chesam says yes. Hare zet tzaddik gomor. You're a complete tzaddik. It's perfectly acceptable. Okay. And it says Rashi on the top of Chesam Abayis 56, Badavar zeh lo amrinin shelo lishma oseh. We don't say, ah, you're doing it shelo lishma. You're only doing it because you want to refuse shlema for your child or for your relative or whatever. Okay? No, it's a full-fledged stuck 100%. Because even though you're doing it for your own benefit or for some other purpose, it doesn't matter. At the end of the day, the poor person got helped. And Tosis there, Pesach and Chesam asks, Yom Masa Shiyiska asks, ah, what about the mission in Pirkei Avos, which says you're not supposed to anticipate a reward? Okay, what do you say? No, that only means you're not supposed to expect a reward, which if you don't get, you'll regret doing the mitzvah. It's a technicality. But more than that, others say, the Noda Behuda says, that there's a collection of drushes called Avas Tzion, 58, that's by the son of the Noda Behuda, Avas Tzion and Drush Yud. He quotes his father in the second line, Adoni Avi Mori Rabbi, that's an abbreviation, Adoni Avi Mori Rabbi Hagon Zatzal, explained why that works. You can give stock and get a reward. Because when it comes to mitzvahs, okay, usually you're supposed to do a mitzvah l'shem shamayim. Okay, you're supposed to do it for mitzvah. But he says that's only by mitzvah b'makom, right? Shekol mitzvah Hashem. If you're not doing it l'shem mitzvah, what are you doing? There's nothing, then the action has no validity whatsoever. Is there anything special about taking a stick and some fruits and waving it in different directions on sukkahs? By itself, it's not anything significant. It's only significant if it's l'shem mitzvah. Right? There's nothing valuable about that. Actually, he says, look on the third line, Shekol mitzvah Hashem, im eino osa l'shem mitzvah, ein bo mamish, ve'eino osa klum. Do'im not the lulav, o menech tfilin, v'tzitzis, v'lulei she'esh bo mitzvah borah baruchu, asher tzivah las, dover ze ein b'mais, hazeh shum to'eles. Mitzad atzmuso. It's not significant in its own right, the act. It's only significant because it's a mitzvah. But, he says, when it comes to the last two lines, av b'nesin et stoka, even if I wasn't thinking about a mitzvah. Again, the poor person doesn't care what intent I have. Oh, it's a mitzvah. Doesn't care, right? But you see, it's not kaaf she'ein bo machshev es mitzvah filo hachi yesh toilas u'pul of a siyaso. The ha'ani nene mimenu, right? The poor person got what he needed. So what does he care whether I did it with shame mitzvah? I didn't do it with shame mitzvah. So I guess it works either way, again, because it's result-oriented. The Nachal Yitzchak, that's a Yitzchak Chonon. The Chuvas Nachal Yitzchak and the Hagdomas and Pesach Hashar into the Krav Gimel Oz Tezvav 59. He quotes as Noda Behuda also, and he therefore says when you give tzedakah, even if it's completely shelo lishma, Baruch Hashem, these guys bail us out because sometimes again I'll speak for myself. I'm giving tzedakah to these guys and shelo lishma. I wish it wouldn't pester me. Okay, but we get credit anyway because that's what it means. Pizer Nasan Avyonim to Kosam and Islamad. Even though it wasn't my intent to do, I gave it to him so he wouldn't bother me. I said, get the heck out of my house. Fine. I gave all these reasons, but at the end of the day, it was stalker. The Beis Halevi, in his term, you know, sharp language, writes to his Beis Halevi, actually his drushes are called drush l'tzedakah 60. He says, look at the end of the line. He says, "Dema ichpas leila ani hamekabel machshavto shel hanosim." What in the world does the poor person who's receiving the money, what does he care what he's thinking? I got $100 in this guy. I don't care what he was thinking. Okay, I could care less. It's result oriented. That's the point. Chavetz Chaim says it also in Avos Chesed Chelik Beis in the Aris the Parak of Gimel. Okay, he says it. Why is the guy a tzaddik? Because he says again. Okay. Look at the brackets at the end. The leinian stocker of a chesed came and shown a kabbalah tova lo bein kabbalah klal. All the same idea. That also explains something else, an interesting point. You know, the Rashbo has a famous Chuvah 62. Chuvah Rashbo chelik aleph simin yud ches. Rashbo was asked, why do certain mitzvahs get brachas and other mitzvahs don't get brachas? Tam is an interesting sugi by itself. Maybe we'll talk about it some other time. You know, we know some mitzvahs we always say bracha for doing it. Other mitzvahs we never say brachas. Why? So the Rashbo basically says in the Tshuva, there's no one reason, okay, and the different things. You know, some for example, we only make brachas on mitzvahs that are action-oriented, okay? But then he writes, we also only make a bracha, we don't make a bracha, the second last line of 62, v'chein ein mevarchen la mitzvah, she'ein atluya kula biyada osa, if another party is necessary, okay, because maybe the other party won't want it, okay? I'll give tzedakah, I'll make a bracha, and the guy says, $5? I didn't come in for $5. He slams the door and walks away. Right? So I end up, I didn't give anything. It's a bracha l'atala. Whenever the mitzvah requires the participation of somebody else, then we don't make a bracha. That's one of the rules that the Rashbo says in this tshuva, chelek aleph simin yud ches of the tshuva's Rashbo, and the other thing. So the Chasam Sofer, in his tshuva, chelek orchaim simin nun dal in 63, builds on this Rashbo, and he says, you know, some ask a question, how can you make a bracha at a wedding when you give the ring? How do you make the bracha? because maybe the girl will get the cold feet at the last second. She'll run away from the chuppah. Could happen, right? You'll make the bracha. You're about to give the ring. And she'll forget, I don't get married today. Okay, it could happen. Hopefully it never happens to anybody. But, you know, and people have had that happen, maybe not under the chuppah, but close to the chuppah. One of the parties changed their mind. So she said, so that also requires the participation of another person. So anyway, the Chassam Sofer says it's not a kasha because it remains a mitzvah. Getting married remains a mitzvah. Okay, but anyway, what I'm more interested in is at the end, okay? The mitzvah's been Amar Chavero, ain't mevorchin, the Amar Chavero lo bina in kan mitzvah. You see, here, and this is the point, Hadley, you mentioned before. When it comes to mitzvah Chavero, you can't make the bracha and say, well, at least I had the right intent. The intent doesn't help. By mitzvah ala makom, okay, by mitzvah ala makom, you could say, well, my intents were good, so I get some credit for something, so therefore I can make a bracha, so to speak. But by mitzvah Chavero, no, if you don't end up doing anything, then you didn't do anything. It won't count for anything. And that's really a Gemara in Brachas, the Avav Med Aleph. There's a Pasuk in Malachi, Per Gimel, Pasuk Tezayin. It's Haftorah for Shabbos HaGadol. It says, Oz Nidbur of Hemis Pasuk, Oz Nidbur Yir Hashem Isha Ve'el, Isha Ve'el. And it says at the end, Vaykosev Sevet Yifalafonav, Yir Hashem Ulechosh Ve'Shmo. Ulechosh Ve'Shmo. Those who think about his name. What does it mean? The Gemara asks in Brachas, Vav Med Aleph, 65, Ulechosh Ve'Shmo. Says Amar of Ashi, Choshav Adam Lasos Mitzvah. If a person had every intent and he planned to do a mitzvah, v'nena solo asa, and then something beyond his control happened, he couldn't do the mitzvah. Ma'al elav akosav ki lasa. That's what you're referring to, Hadley. It's as though he gets the credit for having done the mitzvah. Good, because Baruch gives you a break. You planned everything, and some circumstance, some wild thing, or some freak thing happened, you can't do the mitzvah. But your intent was to do the mitzvah, so you get credit. Comes the Maram Shik in the Tshuva, Chelek Arachai, and Shin Lamed Aleph 66. He said, yeah, that's by Ben Allah Mokom. By Ben Allah Mokom, you plan to do the mitzvah, and you're not able to do it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you credit. However, by mitzvah Shem Yisrael Negar Acherim, E.F. Shalom Arkein. The Machshavta HaTovah Lo Toal Acherim. I was going to give you a lot of tzedakah. Yeah, thanks a lot. That doesn't help me. I still can't pay my bills. And when it comes to Ben Allah Chavero, it doesn't help what your good intentions were. So you see, when it comes to the same thing in our situation, when it comes to Ben Chaver, it's result-oriented. So therefore, it can work out very well. There's no steer between what the Or HaChaim says was going on and what the Bechor Shor says was going on with Yosef and his brothers. That's Ben Chaver. So it all worked out well. Okay, so there you can say he doesn't even need a Slich and Kapora, and the Gemara knows he was talking about Ben Chaver. However, full disclosure, the Kleichem himself was one of the people who answered. I didn't print this part of the Kleichem, but back in 60, he was one of the people himself who defended, who gave this teretz, that there's a difference between Olam HaChaver and Olam HaMakom. He has to back away from it because of another Gemara. The Gemara in Kedusha, Lamed Beis and Aleph, tells the following story. Rabba bar Rav Huna, okay? Rav Huna kara shirai ba'anpe Rabba Bray. Apparently, Rav Huna had a nice suit, a nice jacket, and his father ripped it up in front of him, and he wanted to test him to see, is he going to lose his temper? You know, he's going to see if he's going to lose his temper. Okay. Amar Ezel Echse Irosach Ilorosach. I'm going to see, that he's going to get angry, or and he's going to, you know, get angry at your father. That's a big avera. How's he going to handle this? Okay. So the Gemara asks, how can he do that? The Dilmarosach, maybe Taka will get angry. Because if eventually you tempted a person with avera. How could Rabba tempt his son? How could Rav Huna tempt his son Rabba to do an avera? Maybe he'll Taka fall in. Maybe he'll Taka, you rip my favorite jacket. Okay, stupid, how do you do that? It's his father. So it's Lifnei Iver. Or he says, no, the mochale likare. The father can be mochel his covered. Probably mochel his covered. Okay, that's the case in Kedushan Lamed Beis, Amud Aleph. All right, as Rashi explained, 68, Mishum Lifnei Iver, Shagorm Livno Lachto. He called this, is going to cause his son to do a sin. So Tosa says, what do you mean he was mochel? Says Tosas there in Kedushan Lamed Beis, Amud Aleph, Masal de mochale. Vitzorach Lomer Shehodio Kodim Lachain. Okay, it had to be that he somehow let him know that he's mochel on his covered beforehand. Because if it didn't let him know, okay, then if the son would get angry, now it would be okay because the father was mochel, but the son didn't know that, then it's like, says Tosas, having kapora. Now, wait a minute, that's been Amla Chavero. And the Gemara there is saying it had to be that the father told him in advance because the father was just quietly mochel. So even though it's true that the son, Lemaisa, had he lost his cool and called his father an idiot, it would have been no problem because the father was mochel. Yeah, but if he didn't know that, he was still Nitzlich and Kapar, so it's still Lifnei Iver. What do you see from there? Says the Kli Chemda, that even by Beno Lachaveru, and the Rambam in the Perish of Mishnah is to pay a Parak Aleph Mishnah Aleph 70 says that the two categories of mitzvahs Beno Lachaveru and Lachaveru. And among the list of it, he says, Ben Allah Hashem, Ben Allah, Ben Hashem, Kigot Tzitzis, Tfilin, Shabbos, Avodah Zorah, those are all mitzvahs, Ben Allah Makom. And what are examples of Ben Allah Chavero? Geneva, Sina, Natira, Hatzivu Lev, Zezel, loving another Jew, Hatzachamocha, and also L'chabed Ahorim. Now, full disclosure, not everyone agrees to that. The Minchas Chinuch, and Mitzvah Lamed Gimel, and Mitzvah Kibbutz Aim is not so convinced that maybe, Kibbutz Avaim is Ben Olam Makom. We all know it's on the right side of the Luchos, right? With the Adam Ben Olam Makom, whatever that proves and so on. And the Minchas Chinuch is Mesupik about it. Okay, it's not so clear. But so maybe this Gemara is not a riot. Maybe this Tosas is of the opinion that Kibbutz Avaim is Ben Olam Makom, so therefore we are concerned about your thoughts. And we wouldn't be Ben Olam Chaber. So not a riot. But there's one other, to finish up, there's another interesting set of Makoras. The Gemara Bava Metzia, Ayahim and Beis. 72. Omar Yehuda Omar Rav, a person who lends money should never lend money to anybody without Edim. Otherwise, it's Lifnei Iver. Why? If there are no Edim, says Rashi, and I have a base in Bava Metzia 73. Omar Yehuda Omar Rav, because the borrower could be thinking, hey, he's got no Edim. I can deny this. Plausible deniability. And there are no witnesses here. What are they going to lose? Well, I'm not saying he's going to do it, but he could certainly think that. Okay, you certainly think that. And so that sounds like that's, the thought's a problem. What do you mean? If I pay him back, why is the thought a problem? So it sounds like from Rashi, even the thought is a problem, right? He, Ola al rucho shalo velichbor. He has a thought. Maybe I'll deny borrowing the money. At the end, maybe he didn't. He paid him back. But it sounds like the thought itself is a problem. And that's the Rambam Paskin, Hilchos Malva Lova, Perek Beis, Aloch Zayin, and Shulchan Aruch, Choshen Mishpat, Simon Ayin, Sif Aleph, Osu LaHalvos, you're not allowed to lend money without Edom, even to a Talmud Chacham. Talmud Chacham are people too, right? You're prompting, attempting a person. And the Machshava, is itself a bad thing. So that's Ben Olam Chaveru. So just very interesting, two tshuvas, well, this will end sort of, the tshuvas Torah Lishmo, that's from the Ben Ish Chai. Yosef Baghdad, Simon Tov Zion, and a very similar tshuva from the Sridei Eish, Chelik Aleph Simon Nun Zion, Sridei Eish Yankov Michal Weinberg from Switzerland. So one Sfardi Gadol, one Ashkenazi Gadol. The case is as follows, look at 76. I want to test my housekeeper. Is she honest or he honest or not? So I drop a few bills somewhere, okay? And let's see when he cleans the house or she cleans the house, the person going to give it back to me, okay? Am I allowed to do that? Or another thing, I work in an office. I want to test the delivery boy. I tell him, you know what? You have to go to the office down the block. Here is $100 in this envelope. Okay, here's $100. Go give this to him. And I put in $110. Now, what's the guy going to do? Is he come back to the other with 10 extra dollars? Or is he come back? Oh, I gave him $100. No problem. And I pocket the $10. Are you allowed to do that? So the Torah Shmuel says you should not do that because you're tempting people to do not vera. Okay, it's lifnei iver. You're tempting someone to do an avera, but look at the, that's all in the first paragraph I said about Alpeh, but look at the second, the tshuva, he answers, kavona, you're not allowed to do it. But then he says, but wait a minute, I have a way you could solve the problem. Be mochel the $10. When you set him up, you give him $110, be mochel the $10. Then be able, you'll be able to tell if he's honest, he won't end up violating anything. It's not lifnei iver because I was mochel the $10, I present him $10. Says the Torah Shema doesn't work because he doesn't know that. And his intent to steal is itself a problem, right? Well, that again shows even Melon HaChavero, okay, at least according to this posting, it's a problem. And that's what the Sfida Eish also, the same, and he quotes our Gemara Noza, Shemisachol, in other words, basically the Torah Lishma and the Sfida Eish do not accept this chiluk, but between Melon HaChavero and Melon HaChavero with regards to your thoughts. And again, we saw other, it's such an interesting machlokas. The Chavetz Chaim in 78 has a long essay in Klal Dalet, Melchus Lashonara, Os Yud Aleph. And more important for us is a footnote again, the Ber Maim Chaim in Os Mem Vav in 79, the Chavetz Chaim also. So it's talking about when you're allowed to reveal information about somebody. That's what he's talking about. It's a very important piece, actually. If I'm trying to hire somebody, I need to know details, or for Shidduch, you're allowed to, as long as you're not mechaving to say something bad about him and so on. And you have to, and he goes through the rules. You have to know the facts, you have to be sure of the situation, so on. But you're allowed to report certain things about the person, okay? But if you don't, even though you were not in, if you don't have all the facts, or you know, in other words, or the other person doesn't tell you why he needs this information and just ask you about him, so then you could get punished, even though you were not necessarily, trying to say anything bad about the person. And the Chofetz Chaim writes in 79, that's Doma, it's the same thing, it's Lechol B'sar Chazer, Yelol B'sar Tleh. It ended up, I was telling a guy for a shidduch, but I didn't know that. It ended up, I was telling a guy because of the need for his business. He needs to know for his business, so that's mutter. But at the time, I thought maybe, he just wants to know some juicy stories. So you hear the case? In other words, it's the opposite case. So therefore, says the Chofetz Chaim, in that case, he also seems to hold, at least over here, even though earlier we said the Chofetz Chaim said the other way, but here he says the Chofetz Chaim seems to say it's a problem, even on La Chavera. So not everybody, I'm saying, will agree. And to come back to that Revelva Soloveitchik, it was said at the beginning, back in, I think it was source 18, the Revelva Soloveitchik and the Gemara Nazir said that even there's a Maisa Isser, and the Machshov itself is a Maisa Isser, and that may even be Ben Av La Chavera. So it's an interesting question. You have to figure out. You can read the Osa story differently. You don't have to learn like the Aruch Chaim, but this could be a machlok. As I just ended with the Shalom in Asara Mamoros, Mamar Shlishi Rabbi Os Kuf Samechay. I'll say it outside in source number 80. The Shalom writes, you have to be careful about what's in your mind also. And you need kapar and slicha. And it doesn't matter what your intent is. It doesn't weigh in on our issue of Menal Chaver, Menal Makom. But he said, a stain on your neshama is a stain on your neshama. So good, it didn't end up hurting, but it's a stain. He said, if you spill wine on your white garment, is it going to help if you tell people, oh, I bet I didn't spill on purpose. Well, I didn't intend to spill it. The stain's still there. Okay, would you walk around the street, you go to a business meeting, a guy, you got dirt all over your shirt. Yeah, it happened by accident. It's not going to help, right? You still got a stain. So he said the same thing with the neshama, so to speak, right? So you need kapar and slicha. The person be careful what his machshavas are also.
Rabbi, okay. Just one thing. He didn't get away scot-free in terms of Yosef was put in a pit. He was as Eved for a while. So there was a lot of things they did that it wasn't that nothing came out of it.
That's an excellent question. And that's a pshat question of Pasuk. And it's very interesting because I think, and I'm going to this now in detail, it's an excellent point. And it could be, because you can ask the question. We said this was in Parshas Vayigash, right? Already when he revealed himself. So what are they worried again? He already told them, don't worry about it. So if you look carefully, you can see it in the words. Look back and compare what's in source 4 to what's in source 1. He said, back in Vayigash, he said, don't worry about he was having sold me here. That worked out okay. But what the brothers are concerned about is, unfortunately, I don't have those psukim here, but now he's going to get us back for all the, what you're calling collateral damage, right?
Yeah.
What about that? Okay, so that's an important ha'ara. The end of the day, though, if you could argue, the way the Aruch Chaim would probably argue, yeah, but it was all part of the same process. It was all a step towards this. So even, the broken window, the stolen car, and the example I gave before, it was part of the process. But it's a very good ha'ara. Okay, we'll stop
Thank
over
you,
here.
Rabbi. Have a wonderful welcome. Shabbos.
Okay, a wonderful Shabbos. Yeah.
Two small things. One of them is that it reminds me of something that I'm learning with my boys in school. A distant parallel, but just the multi-layered quality.
Oh, I lost you. Is that me?
Quality of an action in terms of the pu'ula and the machshava. So in Kuf Chesim Sachem, right, it says that Shasan Chai. If you drink the wine, undiluted,
not mixed,
right? Yeah. Right. So it's Yidei Yayin Yotze Yidei Cheres Lo Yatzah.
Right.
In other words, you drank the wine.
Oh, you did the act. Okay, good. Very good.
Like,